Cesare Borgia, Duke of Valentinois and Romagna, rose slowly from his chair and slowly crossed to the window of that spacious chamber in the Rocca of Imola. He stood there in the autumn sunshine, gazing down upon the tented meadow and the river beyond, and upon the long ribbon of road, the ancient Via Emilia, stretching smooth and straight, with never a crease until it was lost in the distant hazy pile that was Faenza. That road which crosses northern Italy diagonally, a line of almost unwavering straightness for 100 miles from the ancient Rubicon to Piacenza, may well have been a source of pride to Marcus Aemilius Lepidus some 1,500 years before. To Cesare Borgia, contemplating it upon that autumn day, it was no better than a source of vexation, a way north and south by which to his relief might march the troops he did not dare to summon. From the road his eyes shifted again to the besieging camp in the meadows by the river. There all was bustle, an incessant movement of men and horses, industrious as a colony of ants. Yonder a group of engineers were mounting a park of artillery with which they hoped to smash a way into his stronghold. Farther off was a great coming and going of glittering armed figures about the large green tent that housed the too daring Venanzio Verano. Away to the west, a half-naked swarm of men labored with picks and spades at a ditch by which to deviate the water from the river and so serve them as a rampart against any sudden sortie of the besieged. A faint hum of all this business reached the watcher in his eyrie, and he cursed it between contempt and anger. Contempt, to think how the mere lifting of his finger would scatter that presumptuous little army, as a flock of sparrows scatters perceiving the hawk poised above them in the blue. Anger, to consider that he dared not lift that same finger, lest other and greater plans not yet mature should suffer by this too early display of might. Contempt again of this fool Verano and his petty daring to conceive that Cesare Borgia was at the end of his resources and a prey for such a handful of mercenaries, the very sweepings of the martial marketplaces Verano had assembled. Anger again that for a day, for an hour, he must allow Verano to continue in that conceit. With what a puffed-up arrogance would not this fool of Camerino be ordering the business of the siege against this Imola that gave no sign, against this brown citadel, drowsing, unresponsive in the late autumn sunshine under the Borgia banner with its bull device that floated from the Mascio Tower. A stealthy step in the room behind him went unheeded by the Duke. That it did so proved the extent of his absorption, for there never lived a man of keener senses, never a man who combined with an intellect superacute such splendid animal faculties as were his. Merely to behold him was to perceive all this. He was in the very flower of his youth, some 27 years of age, tall, straight, and lithe as steel. His father, Pope Alexander VI, had been accounted in early life the handsomest man of his day. Of a beauty of countenance, it was said, that acted upon women as the lodestone upon iron, which had by no means helped him to the virtuous course that should be looked for in a churchman. That beauty Cesare had inherited, but refined and glorified by the graces of Madonna Venosa de Catanei, the Roman lady who had been his mother. If there was sensuality in the full lips of the red mouth, half hidden by the silky tawny beard, this was corrected by the loftiness of the pale brow. The nose was delicately arched, the nostrils sensitive, and the eyes. Who shall describe the glory of those hazel eyes? Who shall read their message? Who shall depict the will, the intellect, the dreamy wistfulness, the impassiveness that looks out of them? He was dressed from head to foot in black, but through the slashings of his velvet doublet gleamed the rich yellow of an undervest of cloth of gold. A ruby-studded girdle gripped his loins, and on his hip hung a heavy gold-hilted Pistoia dagger in a golden sheath of cunning workmanship. His tawny head was bare.